Dan and Rand and Jay will share tales of folks so unaware they lack in grace and sometimes choose the life they choose will make the news. Breaking down each epic fail in Florida, there's half-price bail. I'm happy to say they
couldn't make this up.
So listen to our podcast jam with co-host Arm and Dan. Vendors, don't be a jerk. Cause when the music hits, the funny hits, and we are gonna take you down. Stick around. Make a sound, hunker down, it's Dumb People Town.
Hey everybody, welcome to Dumb People Town. We've got a great guest who I feel like understands what dumb people do, not because he is a dumb person, but he kind of understands the human condition. If you listen to his podcast,
which we were a part of, go back and listen to us on his podcast,
Harmontown.
Can I say this about Harmontown? And Dan Harmon is with us. Welcome, Dan Harmon.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Great to have you.
I am amazed at how much, I'm just going to say, material you come up with every single podcast. Like, these are thoughts that you have during the week, and you, it comes out like fully formed bits. They're like stand-up bit. I was blown away. We're sitting there, and you're just going through your phone, going through ideas and stuff that I guess you'd come up with since the last podcast.
You jot them down as you go.
I was like, holy shit, this is like such involved bits.
It's usually more that day. And weren't the bits like, do you ever pee in your pee hole?
Which I think is fully formed.
White people pee in their pee holes like this. Black people be like, what?
I mean,
it was a crossing of the street. Or no, why it diverges. I don't know. Whatever. You were coming up with, it was really, I was blown away. Jay and I were sitting up there blown
flattering.
Away.
I like the way I look through your eyes. I think of it like my job is to not have anything prepared, but then I put some stuff in my phone throughout the day because I get nervous. Like if I'm gonna have a show that night, I'm like, well, what if I really don't have? Because it's like a 2-hour show. It's turned into.
Yeah.
So it's like sometimes you're up there and you're just kind of like, wasting everyone's time.
It's a bit of a high wire act because you do it live. So when you do it in front of an audience, you know, we're sitting here in this room, and if something we say is kind of funny or doesn't and it falls flat, right, whatever. But if you're in front of an audience, like, they're there and they love you and they love what's going on.
They're there. By the way, we did it the night of the Oscars. I'm like, who is going to come out in LA the night of the Oscars to see a show?
Sold out. Packed.
Well, that goes to why it's not really a high wire act. It's more like jumping into a big net.
True.
Because those fans are there for you no matter what. It's like a church or a town meeting. They're so on board. They're so supportive. You can feel the love. And like, it's just like we've done so many episodes that it's like if you could conceive of a worst case scenario, we've been through it, you know.
Right.
It's like I've literally pissed my pants on stage.
Which, by the way,
vodka.
And that was a fully formed piss bit.
He wrote that in his phone earlier.
Piss my pants on stage, and then do you just check it right off?
There is, though, like nothing better than it feels so great when you hit the stage for a live podcast because it's traditionally always full of people that are there for everything you're about to do. And it feels so.
We did Doug
doing
Benson's,
a show with friends.
We did Doug Benson's up in Portland when we were up there, and just the sound of the audience when he came out. Yeah. It's just awesome.
I honestly think that like 40% of our society's problems could be solved if every human being could experience that. You know, like they have those rock climbing centers and things like that. Like, are you going on a hike with a troubled teen? Because it's not.
That's kidnapping.
It doesn't. We happen to structure our society in a way that maybe it's earned in some way, whether you're lucky or you have something to say or something like that. But that doesn't discount the fact that truly it's easy enough to stand in front of an audience and have them affirm you, and once they do, there's a mercury switch that gets thrown that never really gets thrown back. Which reveals I know nothing about electronics, but
did you work at Radio Shack for like a year?
You're the reason Radio Shack went out of business.
but everyone kind of deserves that. I mean, because it really isn't the part of it that fixes you isn't earned. Like you can have all the conversations you want about who should be on stage and who shouldn't, but the basic fact that 200 people saying, yes, you are who you are. Mm-hmm. Like, that's something that everybody deserves. Because that's exactly biologically, I think, what we're designed for.
I think that's one of the beauties of Harmontown is I think that you also give that back to the audience. That the people in that audience also feel like it's great who you are.
Yeah, it's easy when you don't have an act, because if you're 40 minutes into a show, you have nothing to talk about, and then some oceanographer, because you're talking about dolphins, starts going, actually, that's not true about dolphins. It's like, hey, get up here and tell me what it is.
But then that opens up a whole other thing. I think what you're describing right now, and I think what we have to start doing, is podcast fantasy camp. We need to make that happen.
That would be a really interesting thing. I mean, the thing, when I taught, I was in high school improv when I was in Milwaukee, and then
comedy sports.
And then I graduated from that and became like a coach of sorts. I taught improv. I'm faltering around those words because I'm not qualified to teach improv, but I did. And one of the exercises in improv was simply, before you do anything else, you get in a big circle with like very beginning, zero experience improvisers, and you go around a circle, and they say any word. And then everyone in the circle says that word, mm-hmm. and then yes, and then you move on. And it's like, fuck it. It sounds so ridiculous, but if you say avocado, and then everyone says avocado, yes, and then moves on. It is
affirmation.
Yeah. Feels good.
I do a bit in my stand-up where I say we're all in it together. And the first time I do it, no one knows to follow along with me. So the joke is like, you know, I say like, as an aside, I'm like, we were supposed to, whatever, it's fine. You guys will get another chance. And then by the third time I do it, everyone in the audience
because
says
they want to be a part
together
of it.
And I say it as a joke. I go, we could do that all night and it would feel good. It wouldn't be funny, but we would all feel good. And after the show, I have people come to me and be like, that did feel good. I'm like, yeah, because we are in this together.
Well, we are in this together right now. This is Dumb People Town, and we have stories that come to us, and the four of us will break these things down. This is what I love to do.
You want
to
do one?
We have a great comedic mind here.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No, we're sitting next to Dan Harmon, Jason Sklar.
Okay, any day. Any day.
We're talking about Dan.
I know. Sent in by Justin Roth at Joth11. Guys, everybody, I saw some people, if you want to send us stories, I love it. To me, it's like the cornerstone of how the bread gets made.
Eyes and ears on the ground. Yeah.
Cornerstone of how the bread gets made.
Don't watch how the bread gets made. Isn't that what everybody says?
No, I think it's the sausage.
Have you seen bread be made?
No, I have not.
Well, then maybe.
I have been to a Wonder Bread factory as a child. That was actually one of the trips that we took as kids.
To the Wonder Bread factory?
You went to the Powell Symphony Hall in St. Louis, and then they, on the way back, they took you to the Wonder Bread factory. I guess it was like high low.
What if this is how Jason found out that Randy had a different life with his...
I was like, wait, you went to the...
It's the one thing.
You went to the Wonder Bread factory?
Randy was a childhood trucker who had an entire other family that he was a part of.
It explains everything. It's why one of them is a millimeter taller than the other one.
Remember when Dad took us to steak dinners every Thursday night?
No!
Just driving, drinking Jolt, going to see that new fam.
With Auntie Roxy?
No! You don't know Auntie Roxy? No! What the fuck?
Dan, you and I slowly leave while they just everything falls apart between the two of them.
And then it just you just hear the sounds of the third act of Dead Ringers with Jeremy Irons. It's time for the separation. Yes, Chang. You guys must be so into Dead Ringers, right?
It's really a life. It's a lifelong dream.
You just watch it on a loop.
We get there. Yeah, we hope we can get there. Constantly being. It's something to aspire to.
You know how like when you're sailing and you're going nowhere. It's called being caught in irons.
Yeah.
So that's what we are. We're stuck in Jeremy.
Anyways, this was sent in by @joth11. Thanks, Justin. If you want to be a part of the show, potentially, I go through the order in which they were sent to me, try to find great stories. Just hashtag Dumb People Town. Some people forget to do that. So, guys, it's hashtag Dumb People Town and @DanielVanKirk. All right. Brianna Wiley called the police last Friday night when she returned home with her two young boys to find a strange, completely nude woman sitting on her couch. Now, she doesn't know she's strange, first of all.
She's totally nude. Based on pubic hair grooming things, I think you can tell a lot about a woman. Like, if it's wild, you can in a minute be like, if you're not making a political statement, you're strange.
I think it just means because if they left out the word strange, you'd be like, okay, must be a neighbor.
Yeah, that's true.
A neighbor who's really hot.
Wait, can I say that I'm kind
not
of
not hot and beautiful? But
as
hot.
You started that sentence, I'm kind of glad that
it was a woman,
that it wasn't Brianna who was just like a bad mom. I'm like, as soon as I heard she had two kids, I'm like, what did she do?
What did she do?
And then it wasn't her.
Oh yeah, we took she's the victim
because Brianna sounds like the beginning of somebody who's going to do something dumb with their kids.
It's the white trash version of a Fleetwood Mac song. Brianna. Anna.
I'm relieved that she has the kids with her. I guess I wish the kids weren't there.
I wish the kids weren't there. You wish the kids were like her coffee mug that she rested on top of her car before she drove over to the gas station.
But I'm just picturing a nice Florida night. I'm assuming this is Florida.
We will find out. Okay. Yes, yes, yes.
So like a sticky, muggy night.
Yeah.
They just come home and there's a strange woman laying
there's,
on
there's
the
couch. There's two reasons this isn't that weird yet if it's in Florida. One is the weather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weather means like, yeah. She was,
just trying to relieve the humidity.
We all get a little hot.
Well, the woman says, Brianna, quote, I asked her who she was and why she was there. And she told me her name was Catherine and she was there for the birthday party.
Oh, my God.
This woman's interpretation of a not the end of the birthday party.
The
this
beginning.
Is her walk in,
and you're like, this is a surprise, right?
You know, you have that friend who shows up way too ready to go.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah,
up here.
Yes, Catherine.
Catherine
is ready.
She enters a party which starts at 6 p.m. at 11 p.m.
at 11 p.m.
But here's my thing: why? When did we stop? When did we stop having people come out of cakes like that?
Under siege. That jumped the shark.
Show up on your couch.
She's like,
she jumped the cake.
That's called jumping the cake.
She's part of an unfortunate. This is just more of the Rust Belt's tragedy. Is that
guys,
she works
losing,
for a company.
We're losing our cake jumping jobs. Large cake manufacturers are going down.
I'm
going to
show you guys a picture of the woman on the couch.
Our cake jumping jobs are going down to Mexico, and I think that's the problem.
They kind of put a little decal in front of it, but you can see her. She looks like
every male improviser at UCB.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. She all just right. looks like a lady, just like a regular middle-aged.
When you say lady, you mean lesbian, right?
No.
When you showed it to us, all we saw on this side was because there was like a
thing covering her face.
Yeah.
Oh, that's supposed to be there.
I can't get rid of it.
Spiky haircut.
She looks like a Fayed coach. Like I'd say like a Nurse Ball Bricker kind of.
Yes. D2 basketball coach.
She's the one who has the keys to the cabinet where all the balls are.
Brianna Wiley. Brianna Wiley said she was there for the birthday party. She was definitely dressed for it. Brianna's got jokes.
Jokes.
There was no birthday party, and the woman was stripped down to her birthday suit wearing nothing but a smile. You can hear the newscaster voice written into the article.
That is terrible.
She met me at the door and asked how she could help me. Imagine that.
By the way, wearing a smile. And whenever my wife says I'm wearing this purse.
Yeah.
It bumps me. And I guess from like a writer's perspective, it just bumps
I'm
me.
Holding
I'm like,
it.
You're holding it. I'm bringing the, like, you're not wearing it. You're bringing it. I don't know. It just was weird. So
I just love that this woman, Brianna, gets to her own door. It's locked. There's a woman in there. No one says anything about a break-in, so I'm assuming she left her
door open
or unlocked. Yeah. And the naked lady walks up to her and says, how can I help you?
I'm confused because I thought...
She was laying on the couch.
I thought she was on the couch.
She was. I guess she maybe saw her when she walked up, but when she got to the door... Catherine approached her in the nude and said, how can I help you?
Start by breastfeeding my children.
If I am this woman and I've got my two kids with me and I see
you're
through
freaking out.
The patio, the Florida patio door.
You don't lean in on it?
Yeah, I'm not going to go to the door.
Yeah, I know.
Kids, come on. We're all learning something
Let's
today.
Let's help.
I want you to watch how to deal with this.
Because you know what? It could happen to you. So get up here. You go first. Tell her to get.
It becomes a cautionary tale.
Yeah. It's like the Chris Rock bit. Keep him off the ball. Keep him off the couch.
I mean, our dad, when we were kids and we were in, I'll never forget this. I don't know if we've even spoken about this on this show, but we were driving the Lake of the Ozarks, which is in the middle of Missouri, grew up in St. Louis, and it was raining and there was this old guy.
Oh my God.
With a gas can. Old. I mean, he had to have been about like 70, you think?
No. He's probably in his 50s. He looked like Charles Manson.
Well, you guys were kids, so he was probably 33 years old.
Yeah. Everybody's old. And he had a gas can, and it's pouring down rain at night, and he waves down, and my dad lets him get in the car with us to, like, drive him to a gas station. I remember our mom was like, what the
fuck? Where did he sit?
Are you doing?
In the back?
He sat in the front. He sat in the front.
And your mom
sat with you? We had, like, one of those bench seatings.
In the front.
No, he sat next to our mom.
No, she was in the middle?
Yes.
She was in the middle.
She was the buffer?
We're in the back seat.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, Dad, why are you? I know we want to help people out, and that's, like, a really wonderful thing to do, and I really appreciate that, but we don't know who this guy is.
Did you ever ask your dad later in life, like, how he assessed that situation?
No, because as a dad now, what I realize is he just in the moment made the call and didn't want anyone to question the call that he made.
He this probably is what made being it a dad and then is. Regretted it immediately.
Made it was like, this is a dumb call. I'm going to get shit from it from my wife and everybody, but, like, this is the call I made and everyone's got to go with it.
Yeah.
And it just because that's, like, a lot of dad decisions. Like, no, look, we're going to go around the block to find the fucking parking spot.
Is that guy still a part of your family?
Yeah, we went to his
Uncle Jeff
a week ago. Yeah,
By contrast, if I'm walking up to my apartment and I see
a naked woman,
I would say to my kids, "We're gonna go live somewhere else now." And I'd be like, "What about our home?" I was like, "Well, that lady lives there now. Yeah. That's her apartment.
Possession is 80% of the law
she did more than we did to earn that property.
Did you like our home? Did you like home? Who didn't lock the door?
That's right.
Because that person, someone in the back seat didn't like our home enough to lock the door, so we're going to a new home now.
That's hers now.
Kids, one day you'll need a home passionately enough to take off all of your clothes and walk into it, risking death.
But by the way, isn't that where we're heading? That's like so Mad Max and like just the naked people who just take over.
So she says, I told her, she said, how she helped me. Brianna said to her, I told her she could help me by letting me into my house for one, which means she's assessed a list of things she needs to do.
That's number one.
Get dressed is probably
on
it.
Some clothes.
And then she goes, and she did. She was nice, but it was very shocking. Brianna Wiley told her boys, 4 and 6 years old, ripe for just that's impressionable.
Yeah, that's
right
the
there. Definition of impressionable. This kid, 20 years later, be like,
the 4 year old won't remember.
I jack off to naked middle aged moms on the couch.
The 4 year old won't remember. The 6 year old will.
Right.
The 4 year old will.
You're right.
Because I remember talking to Eugene Merman, and I was like, when did you move here from Russia? And he said, I was 4 and a half. And I was like, what was Russia like? And he's like, I don't know. I was 4 and a half. I don't remember one thing of it. So this 4 year old, and I'm going by that because my son doesn't remember our old house. He was 4 in it. So that's it. 4 year old will forget.
So these two will be like, 6 year old
will never. 6 year old's
like, why am I watching so much women's basketball?
They'll be drinking in their 20s and they'll be looking at each other with one of them saying, how do you not remember this? Is what you're saying.
No. He'll remember it. It'll be the mark.
Quote from Brianna. She then put her clothes on backwards.
Crisscross.
I wouldn't have pointed that out. I would have been like, we're good enough. Go. That is fine.
I'm sorry. That's on. Yeah.
She then realized her clothes were on backwards. So she proceeded to take them off again as I was standing there. Do you think she's just
constantly
saying?
That was on purpose, right? Put them on backwards
on purpose
just to take them off again?
I want to do it right.
Oh, yeah.
I want to do it right. I'm not walking out of this house in embarrassment with a shirt on backwards.
The last thing I want to do is do something embarrassing.
Officers who later arrived on the scene and placed her into custody. Advised that she was, quote, highly intoxicated, Corporal Benjamin Litterall said. This wasn't the first time the woman has crashed someone's home drunk. The woman identified as Catherine Therrell was charged Wednesday for crashing into another PV home back in February.
Can that be like a thing? Because like,
is that a fetish?
Is
it a fetish?
No, but if she definitely gets some excitement out of it, number one, just being naked in someone else's house. She's got to have... That's
you think
gotta,
it's sexual for her?
I totally think it's sexual.
There's I think she's just relaxed.
Maybe it's not sexual. It's something. It's like visceral on a certain level.
Maybe she's just in her own house as soon as she walks in, pants off.
It's possible. The data we need includes what is her normal, sober home activity. If she might tend to...
I wish that you were a police officer on this force and you'd be like, look, before we roll her in, let's take her to her own house.
See what happens.
We need a control for these
drop her off. And tell her everything's fine.
Well, I'm not waiting my punishment of this woman by.
No, I love it though. I'd be like, just come on, Dave.
Let's get see a sense of who she is in her natural habitat.
Yeah, then we know. Then we know the intent.
But it seems like if there were sexual overtones that were received by the teller of the story,
she would have. Yeah,
that would be
made
like
note.
A, yeah.
For Wiley's,
the couch was very wet. Let me just say that. Yeah.
For Wiley's, well, it's because the window was open. Yeah. The damage is all mental. Her 4 and 6 year old, this is what Brianna says, her 4 and 6 year old boys can't stop talking about the incident.
Making them diagnosably human.
Yes. Making them 4 and 6 year old boys. Yeah.
Quote, now all we hear about is the naked lady, and including at school. School gets to hear about the naked lady too.
I mean, the only thing that would have made it better for the 4 and 6 year old, and you have a boy, would have been if she would have, as she was leaving, just farted.
And if her vagina was a Pokestop. wait, stand there, because there's a Squirtle coming out of your
vagina. She farted candy. Yeah. But wait, I mean, yeah, I'm. Everybody does get to talk about the naked lady
of
at school.
But if you're a parent, you get out.
They
in
also
front
get
of that.
To drink water 3 times a day and have hot meals. Yeah,
this is as important as breathing.
It's as basic as that. As soon as that happens, that is
if these guys are going to be scarred by anything, it's going to be, I'm sorry, I don't want to victim blame, but like it's a weird thing to be raised by a mom whose instinct upon this happening
is to
allow them to walk in.
Is to want to redact it from their memory, like Eternal Sunshine.
We don't do that anymore.
I think we need to just live as a family in a post-naked lady world.
Yes.
Like some of us go to Disneyland.
Some of us see a vagina in our house.
You're 100% right. That would end up being the bigger issue, is that they had a mom that wanted to act like things never happened.
Shut it down.
Yeah, because just let it run its course. But if you're a parent, you got to get out in front of that, right? And call the teacher and be like, look, the naked lady you're going to hear about today is not a part of our family.
Like,
just like the weird crayon drawings that you're going to see that look like they're designed by a production designer of a horror movie.
And you're going to say, why does this man have a vagina? No, that was her haircut. Right.
That was who she was.
Where's the candy come out of? All right, you guys ready to play a new game?
Yes.
We're going to play a game called Whose Home State Did This Happen In?
Ooh.
Now, I did my research. So, Dan, I know you were born in Wisconsin, and Milwaukee is your stomping ground. So,
cops.
This could be.
She had just eaten cops.
This could be Missouri. Right. Wisconsin or Illinois, which really, those are great three states for somebody
because
to
it
be
says
drunken.
That this happened between the weeks of June 10th and August 1st. Yeah. Otherwise, this woman is dead.
Yeah.
Because skin freezes in 30 seconds in those states.
Especially in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So, Missouri, Illinois, or Wisconsin, whose home state did this happen in? And listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Jason? I'm going to say Missouri, because it feels like our state.
Missouri.
It does feel like, even Randy bringing up that story reminds me of Missouri.
Oh, the guy with the gas can? Yeah.
Dan? I feel like Missouri, because it's warmer there, so it increases the statistical probability of this happening. It is, of course, the show me state.
I can't argue with that. I got to go with that. I'm going to go with Missouri. Dan, where is she? Where this happened?
This happened in Peavely, Missouri.
Yeah.
Way to go, guys.
Didn't we? We used to play baseball in Peavely.
Yeah, I think we did. Something like
Theroux's bond was set at $10,000. That's our first story.
Our first story in the books. That's how we do it with Dan Van Kirk. The show. He's saying, show me the. No, I don't even know.
I don't know.
I was like, where? What does he have at the end?
But she'd done it before, huh? Like the cops are like, oh, she does this all the time.
You should never see a naked woman in someone else's apartment and say the phrase, here we go again.
Here we go again. Here's the crazy thing. The way they wrote it, I literally couldn't tell if they were saying she crashed her car into another house or crashed. But then they said narrowly missing a mom and child. But I don't know if that means like they came home late and she was already gone.
I think it was like, I think it was that.
In our world, this is her thing.
But there is a double standard. I mean, I don't want to say this, but like a man does that and it's like horribly predatory.
That's a statistically defensible double standard.
Totally.
I thought about that. And then I thought, you know, this is just another. I mean, we haven't treated chemical problems as the illness that they are since the Nixon administration. Like, apparently Nixon was actually kind of pro, let's look at heroin as a disease. And it was in the later administrations that we decided that people that do drugs and can't handle them, can't, whether it's alcohol or anything else, like, oh, it's their, that's their problem. They're just a bad person. They're making bad choices.
It's a fault of their own.
But it, yeah, and it's a, but then we don't, if this woman is choosing to do this, then she's a menace to society. But we all have that instinct. We go, well, she's drunk. She obviously isn't going to do this when she's sober. So that's the double standard that we have, is that we're like, oh, drunk people get drunk, or they, crystal meth's a hell of a thing. Like, it's all fucked up and people do it and they can't control themselves and they do all this fucked up shit, but we don't treat it. Then we just let it run rampant because it's like a random thing.
I mean, the good news is that this administration should really take a good look at that and help people.
I'm sure.
And with that,
one thing could come from this podcast. It'll be the one that Donald Trump's going to be listening
to. Really going
to
be, I know.
Tune in and be like, you know what? Maybe we do need to take a look at that as a mental health.
That's right. All right. So, let's take a break. When we come back, we've got more Dumb People Town. We'll talk about the first episode of the new season of Rick and Morty just dropping,
which surprised a lot of people.
Surprised a lot of people with Dan Harmon, Dan Van Kirk, Sklar Brothers, Dumb People Town. Stay with us.
Stick around, make a sound. There's more Dumb People Town.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Dumb People Town. If you were lucky enough...
We didn't do anything. Said we were going to go away.
Well, we went away.
They went away,
but we didn't.
We didn't go away.
We moved them, and then we come back.
Jesus Christ, what a mind fuck.
It is a mind fuck.
It's also time travel.
We're talking to people who are now minutes older than us.
They have now done something. in the overall of this whole thing, they are ahead of us.
They paused the podcast and responded to whatever advertising we just put into this podcast.
That is insane.
And we know that. But let's talk about the surprise launch of this new season of Rick and Morty. How did you guys decide? I love that idea. I love that it was a shock to everyone, including people who work in this building.
This is probably the fifth time that Adult Swim has informed us of a very strange marketing decision, and it's the fifth time that I've said, The last time was fine, but this time they're nuts. Like, the last time worked brilliantly, but this time they're stupid. You know, like, I really thought it was the dumbest idea I could have ever heard.
Well, right, because the prevailing thought would be we should probably promote when this thing's coming out so that people know.
Well, there's that. You know, I was okay with the dropping it, the kind of like, hey, fuck it, like, we're a popular show and you've been waiting too long for it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The unceremonious kind of like weird dropping of it. I because the alternative would be me complaining to Adult Swim, whose money I had already stolen by being so late with the show, mm-hmm. saying like, no, then you have to promote the hell out of it. But it's the April Fool's thing that I thought was just so, I was like, people are going to be so confused. They've been waiting for this show.
Right.
And then you're going to say April Fool's the show is on?
Are they going to think that it's not actually coming back and this is just a one-off? Yeah. Or
which is kind of true, because now the new episodes don't, you know, they're coming later in the summer.
Right.
And so I was like, oh my God, they're going to lynch us because we're going to say... April Fools, here's the first episode, and
now wait.
April Fools,
now
the show's not really back on. But people seemed pretty happy.
Yeah. So. That was amazing. It was a big splash. Good to see you guys.
Very cool. What do you like doing the most? I mean, again, I hear you in the podcast, and I'm like, that is the purest form of you, but you've obviously done a lot of things.
And you've done that everywhere. You did it in Australia. We saw Jeff Davis as you guys were just about to head down to Australia. Mm-hmm. You've done it around the country. You do it here in LA.
Podcast writing for live action animation. What do you love the most doing when you get your hands dirty with something?
I think when I'm the most actualized is like stunt writing. Like, if it could always just not matter, if mm-hmm. I could trick my brain, which I sometimes do, like whether it's like. Like lately, sometimes I'll open a laptop on stage and there'll be a projector and then I'll type while people are watching me type. And that's really interesting and fun to me because it's like a fusion of like, oh, I'm a genius, but I don't have to be. Mm-hmm. You know, you're getting all of the glory of like you're a concert pianist, but you're not doing anything that requires any discipline.
That's right. Notes are coming out.
Does it also in that moment like, one of my favorite things is the Harmontown documentary, and what I love in it, and I think about this scene every single time I'm on a deadline and late is that scene where they're like asking you for more pages. And it's that night where you're like, and you've put it off so much and so much, so much. But you also know about yourself that until it gets to that like drop deadline, right, like that's when the best is going to come out of you because it has to. So is there some of that on stage where you know that in this moment of the pressure of having to do it, you are going to be able to mind, like you create the scenario for which your mind like works? Because I think every time I'm like you in that moment, as close as I can probably get, to where I'm like, this has to be done right now. And then in the next 3 hours,
it's done.
I'll do 10 times as many pages as I would have done in the last 2 weeks had I really sat down.
I think, I mean, I'm going to mitigate that for the kids listening who I don't want to imitate bad habits.
Me either. I try, but I still end up
what you're
same.
Describing is us having the bad habit of getting to the place that we need to be in order to write by force.
Yeah.
Like using deadlines and emergency and crisis and adrenaline as a crutch to get us to the zone that theoretically you should be able to be in the day after you get the job, mm-hmm. 3 months before the deadline, which mm-hmm. is to just, this doesn't matter.
Right.
Like so it's like that, if you are waiting until the last minute and until the pressure is crushing you until your career is at stake and now you're either going to prove to be a hack or a genius and all that stuff, that is a sign that you do need to do some retooling about your relationship with your work. I think you're taking yourself a little too seriously, and this is coming from, I'm not talking down to anyone listening because I'm the master of it, I think, mm-hmm. but it's like, you know, being in therapy, what I've come to realize is that's what we're doing. We're because we want to not admit that it's not all about us. We want to keep being narcissistic, but at the same time, we want to be lazy, frankly. Like, we don't want to do anything that's that difficult. But, and so.
You have to raise the stakes earlier for yourself, or just
lower the stakes.
Get it out. That's when we're like,
just understand that that you sitting at a keyboard typing is not the scene in Amadeus in anything.
Right.
Like, you are not doing anything by typing
it's
at
not
a keyboard.
Even like a scene in the video Falco.
It's barely part of the process. It's like mm-hmm. when is a spider, you know, doing the thing that makes his web or hers, what makes their web right? Is it the silk coming out of the butt? Is it what the spider ate? Is it the place that the spider chose to make the web? And then we walk through shitty spider webs that have been abandoned by spiders 10 times a year because
cobwebs and spider webs are different.
Well,
cobwebs are like means that you haven't hung out there in a while. Spider webs mean that like. Like,
construction's
happening in terms of like the spider is building something.
To my knowledge, that's not actually true. Most spider webs that you walk through are abandoned because the spider was like, gave it a shot, figured halfway through that
it's
wasn't working,
work.
And bailed. Or they finished a web and it was in such a shitty place that it kind of fell apart.
Right.
They do a lot of trial and error, but most importantly, it's a biological process. It's essentially like taking a shit.
I got to get this web out of me.
I was just talking to this, and exactly, and until you really feel, I got to get this web out of me, then it's not going to come out, which is why we then make the mistake of justifying this bad work ethic where we're like, oh, well, it's part of your process. You just have to wait till the last minute. No, you have to wait till the last minute if you want for it to need to happen in a way that doesn't involve you changing your psychology.
Yeah, totally.
The other alternative is you can just start taking what you do less seriously and have it be like, oh, maybe a fly will fall into this. Whether it does or doesn't, it's only a piece of garbage that's going to go away after a while.
By the way, taking it less seriously, I relate to that big time in terms of going up and doing stand-up shows. Okay, there are some shows that, for whatever reason, wherever they are, the show itself, you start to like feel more pressure in those moments. The shows that we have the most fun on is when we just go up and we're like, fuck it. Let's just, who cares? This is, you sort of, that pressure. Same with auditioning for things. Whenever you're like, fuck it, don't want it so badly, don't take it so seriously, you always do your best work. We always did it.
The idea that it's your job to do well, that's the thing that we don't realize. That's the devil's best trick. Because if it's your job to do well, then as a person that enjoys quality things, Do you, when you go home at night, do you watch the jokes and the comics and the TV shows and read the comic books and watch the movies of the people that are doing it worse than you think you can do it? Or do you like to watch the ones that where you're kind of like, oh, I don't know if I would have come up with that. Mm-hmm. So we generally would prefer to watch things that are better mm-hmm. than what we can do. So when we consider it our job to do better than we can do,
it's an impossible goal.
Then you don't do anything because you're waiting for you to come up with something that you don't come up with. Right. By contrast, if you simply shit it out and consider it your job to do it wrong, do what you would do, and in fact embrace the idea that what you are going to do is going to suck, mm-hmm. then that's more like what chefs do, carpenters do, sculptors. Yeah. They don't sit there and like scrutinize a boulder with a chisel in their hand and then their first like dink, dink, dink is, I learned about sculpting from the Flintstones.
Yeah.
But you know, generally dinosaur speaking, bone. People take lumps of shit, throw it on a table, and they refine it. A lot of times there's collaboration involved, there's people helping you. A lot of times you're doing most of the work, it's just sitting there. I was just telling this to my girlfriend, who's like torturing herself, like, I don't have these scripts done when I'm supposed to have them done and all this stuff. I'm like, are you aware of the process of the last ones that you did? Like,
You got to open the laptop on stage and just start typing. Yeah. That's what you got to
do. And then let it sit and then do another draft.
And then do another draft. I remember in college, and then we'll get to another story. I took a Hemingway Fitzgerald class and I came in liking Fitzgerald more than Hemingway, but I ended up loving Hemingway more because of what my teacher, who was friends with Hemingway, said about him, his quote about what he would do when he had writer's block, which was he would just go to this place where he wrote and he would sit down and he would just try
first say a bunch of random comments about anti-Semitic how much he hated Jews.
Yeah. Yep. And then
that's a palate cleanser.
What he would do is he would sit down and try to write the truest statement he could write. Not a part of necessarily the story, not a part of anything. He didn't even say, I'm going to write the best thing I've ever written.
Right.
I'm just going to try and write the truest thing I can write. That is, we go back to that quote a lot of times when we're sitting around going, well, how do we start this? What do we do? We're like, let's just write the truest thing we can write. That's it. Doesn't have to be funny. Doesn't have to be good. Doesn't have to be anything. But that goes back to start shitting it out.
Yeah.
Get it out.
It's really good
shitting out.
Yeah. I just wanted to say two things about what Dan said. First of all, you didn't say this, but you put the words in my head. A spider doesn't wait till the fly's in the room to start making a web. And then Brian Grazer said, and I cannot forget this, it doesn't have to be good, it just has to exist.
Mm.
And like when he wrote Night Shift or that movie, that was what Lou Wasserman, I think, had taught him, was just that it doesn't have to be good, it just has to exist. And then by your saying of like, just get with that lump of clay or whatever, some things will be good, but don't worry about that, just make it exist.
Well, because we're all critics, we're all so good at recognizing what's shitty about something and how we fix it, and then we're all so bad at making something.
Yeah.
So just unfolds. Make something bad and then criticize it until it's good. Kind of good.
Yeah, that's right. All right, this was sent in by Sam Householder at Sam Householder. I'm a huge fan, full disclosure, of Householders and Householders International.
Yes.
Elkhart, multiple confrontations between the same group of people early Sunday,
which means late Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Left one person hospitalized and another woman without her rental car. Oh,
that's enough. That's the whole story. I think they can end it there.
We got hit so hard we lost our Buick.
Oh, yeah, our enclave.
It didn't follow the exact haiku rules, but it felt emotionally like a haiku.
Bizarrely Japanese and poetic.
It was a very Asian story, yes.
Yeah, a dumb people town haiku.
People who multiple confrontations equal loss.
The incident started with a fight in the 900 block of West Marion Street around 4:10 a.m. That is too late to be fighting.
Too late to be awake. By the way, when was the last time you were up at 4:10 in the morning?
Oh, I don't know.
That's not too unreal for me, but like in a street.
Oh, no. But I'm just saying the last night. I'm not saying people don't do it. I'm saying your energy level at 4:10.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Is not the same at midnight as it is at midnight.
Yeah, you're not in a street. at 4:10 in the morning.
You don't have the energy to fight somebody.
A group of people, this is how they wrote this. I think it's wrong. A group of people was hanging out at a residence. It's were, right?
Yeah.
No, a group was.
A group of people was hanging out at a residence.
Sounds wrong, but it's right.
When a fight broke out and someone damaged the window on a 2003 Nissan. Elkhart Police Department spokesman Sergeant Chris Snyder said, "You're hanging out outside at 4 in the morning?"
Yep.
The owner of that vehicle became enraged, picked up a board, and started hitting a 30-year-old woman's 2016 Nissan, which she had rented from Enterprise. It's not a good night for Nissan.
And you know she did not get the insurance. Ma'am, would you like the insurance?
No, what's going to happen?
Ma'am.
What's going to happen?
I'm telling you, it's $395.
What's a guy going to start hitting it with a board?
Ma'am, it's $395 extra a night.
I don't need it.
$395. You never know what's going
to
happen.
Let's go. Just tell me where to sign.
I know you
want to
hurry up, but
tell me where to sign him.
If there's a tiny crack in your windshield, we will
you
have
don't
to
worry about
it's
anything,
never happened.
Ma'am.
It's not going to happen.
It's
don't
amazing that someone who if you're a victim of a senseless crime against your Nissan, that in your organic rage, you... That person was like so in the moment that they lashed out at another Nissan. I wonder if they, they're probably
poetic justice.
Like God, they're a hammer in God's hand, you know. Yeah. Right?
In the process of hitting the car, one of the blows shattered a window in the 2016 Nissan, spraying shards of glass into the face of someone sitting inside.
Oh. What? Someone's in there?
That's my point.
It was a naked woman from Missouri.
Hello, I'm here for the party.
Not anymore.
Worst birthday ever.
Happy birthday to you.
If you're sitting in a car and you've watched, as Dan noted, one random act of violence, and then a person picks up a board and starts coming towards the car,
get
out of the car.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Go the opposite way of the car. It's only been established as a car victim scenario here.
Or do you think you're safe in the car? Kind of like a tornado's coming, or like there's lightning. There's lightning.
I'm picturing myself sitting in a car and I'm watching this happen. I'm thinking that maybe the person will see me in the car and be like, pick a different car.
I just like picturing you in the car, Dan, being like, stop. It's a rental.
It's a Nissan.
It's a rental.
I didn't get the insurance.
Yeah. I definitely was a rabbit or something, or some rodent in a past life because I would just freeze. I know I would. I've seen myself in conflict situations. I would associate as a guy getting out of the car with escalation of violence. Like you get out of the car and that's like standing up.
But also you get out of the car, get out the other side
that's
of the car
and run.
Who knows if they're passenger side?
Yeah.
You're assuming
they're stuck drivers. But here's the other thing.
It wasn't her car.
I guarantee you though, that didn't crack on the first break. It's hard to break a
I also guarantee you, I've actually seen car vehicular scorched earth conflicts like this before.
Really? Have you?
I was driving through one in Hollywood. Happened down the street from my apartment, and it was like 4 in the morning, and I'm guessing that there was a crowd of people. This wasn't like the OK Corral where there's just like
one guy in a board,
like the Hatfields and McCoys. It's like there's gonna be this just like amorphous swarm of like people
spectators
that expect the right to go back and forth between in the roles of peacemaker, instigator, and sportscaster,
right? Yeah. And spectator,
because when you drive through one of these, as me and Schraub did one night,
no way,
all your seeing is a guy in a hoodie carrying a cinder block over his head like Hercules, walking right in the direction of your car, but like, you know, and then just like it turning out that
he was slammed it onto another car.
Yeah, I just dropped it onto a windshield.
What? Shattered the windshield.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. Holy Christ.
But there were just like people everywhere.
Yeah, how quickly
are
you trying to drive away from that?
Oh, we were just like, we're scooting around. Like,
get out.
We're good. We're good.
Although Dan,
Schraub's voice getting higher by the minute.
Schraub's voice already here, but getting higher. No, but Dan would be like, let's find out what's going on over there. Dan has like a bizarre curiosity.
We call him Life's Bouncer.
He's Life's Bouncer.
And be like,
are we good? Or was everything?
See if I could have sorted it out.
Yeah, you would have.
The woman renting that vehicle, the 2016 Nissan, left to take the victim to Elkhart General Hospital for treatment of minor injuries from the glass. and police arrived at the Marion Street address where this all started. Officers met the woman with the woman renting the 2016 Nissan at the hospital, so the person who was injured and the rentee or renter. They filed charges after they conducted an investigation into the fight. A little over 2 hours later, so we're post 6 a.m., we are now definitely in a new
day. The sun is coming up.
Right. Zed is dead, as it were.
It's time for bygones to be bygones.
That's right. That's right. Unless you're these people.
Dan, you're like, guys, it's Sunday morning.
It's a new day.
It is a whole, I don't know if you've seen The Wire, but Sunday morning.
It's time for an acoustic indie rock song to start playing. Yeah. It's time for Felicity to realize that this didn't happen to her.
Yes.
Right. Exactly.
She was a part of it.
Let's get the facts straight.
A little over 2 hours later, the woman left the hospital in the 2016 Nissan and went to the 7-Eleven convenience store. In my opinion, you're asking for it. At the south Napanee Street and West Indiana Avenue. Again, I'm going to say it. We've said it before. I don't know why they put so many addresses and locations here, but if anyone wants to do a Dumb People Town walking tour,
guys, do it.
You can go and do it.
It's giving you your spot.
And someone tweeted at us the picture that they were at the liquor store where the guy knocked the other guy down and then waited at his house for him.
Right. Dan, I think it's also just because cops like to sound like a Mountain Goats album.
Yeah. I'm at 125 San Obispo, and my father's in the garage at 313 West Santa Monica Boulevard at 8 a.m. And the green veins in his temples are bulging as we go to the racetrack.
So overly specific.
I'm going to make it through this year. If it kills us.
Put 20 on Miss Magnum PI for the trifecta. While there, I feel like I have
song. He can make anything a song.
I think I have to credit. I believe that's Aaron McGathy, my ex-wife's observation, is that geographic specificity is Mountain Goat bag of tricks.
Thank you.
Credit received. So anyway, she heads to the 7-Eleven community store. Do you imagine she's just like, look, we've had a rough night.
Hey.
You got hit with shards of gas. You could have gotten out of the car. You didn't. And that's okay. Like, you thought you were safer in there.
Let's get a burrito that could kill us.
I'll figure out the deal with the insurance on this Nissan. Let's just stop at a 7-Eleven.
What could go wrong here?
What could go wrong here?
Well, they're probably feeling like they're owed on a scratch-off by the cosmos.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Let's
get a lottery ticket.
We deserve it. We've earned it.
They get to the 7-Eleven. While there, they encountered a group of people who had been involved with the earlier fight on Marion Street. What are the odds? Well, maybe they're good in this town. They just went straight to the 7-Eleven.
Missouri.
Exactly.
So one 7-Eleven.
But it is probably the place that's open.
Right.
Like when you think about
six
what's
in the morning.
Open. Yeah.
Where are you going to go? 40. Waffle House in there.
Someone from the group punched the woman in the face.
Oh, come on.
Then they stole the woman's rented 2016 Nissan and an undisclosed amount of cash. This Nissan is gone. This Nissan. But
what was stripped?
It's like the car from
the
Tommy
Nissan
Boy.
Is like the ring of power. It's like it's just fleeing her.
The ring, Nissan. Grab the Nissan, Frodo.
She is not doing its bidding fast enough for the car's dark soul.
Your Nissan has 17 hit points.
This car was forged in a factory in Middle Earth, and like it was done for the purpose of bringing about the end of man.
Yeah, end of day.
The all new Nissan Mordor.
Yeah.
It can only be unmade at the Ford plant in Flint, Michigan.
It can't be destroyed. It can only be unmade.
One car to assault them all.
Right. It needs like two wizards, like two separate wizards need to come together, yep, battle over it, and then it gets destroyed.
The woman located her car on the 500 block of West Franklin Street around 1:35 p.m. Sunday. Mm-hmm. So she went, what's that, seven hours?
7 hours after that.
Mm-hmm. Officers processed her evidence before allowing her to drive it from there. Imagine her returning this car rental.
But like trying to do the thing that we all do. You return, even if you know there's a couple scratches, just, yeah.
This windshield was gone when I got it.
Look on the sheet. There was
they're going over the sheet.
Look on the X.
She walks in, tosses them the keys.
Yeah. Like, okay, are we good? Right, are we good?
We're good. We're good. My ride's already out front.
Yeah,
so
I just go.
We're good. No arrests were made in either incident as Elkhart police continue to investigate.
Okay, punch in the face, no arrests made. That's terrible. What is this, the NBA in 1987?
What
is happening?
Know. That is insane.
If it's supposed to just be like, it's like hell or high water, or it's just like some town where yep. Jeff Bridges, the sheriff, is like, so let me guess, the McClintocks had something to do with it.
And that's
may
it.
May I figure out we going to figure this out eventually? I'm going to lay out here on a porch and sleep until this case figures itself out.
No need to push it along.
There's that whole scene in Hell or High Water where
he's like, I'm going to sleep out here tonight. Got myself a Mojave blanket.
All the answers will come through that.
For some reason, my Jeff Bridges police officer is also Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Damn right, I don't know. What?
I was like, when was Stone Cold Steve Austin in Hell or High Water?
I've been deputized about 10 years ago. It is a Nissan incident if I've ever seen one. What?
All right, story two down in the books. Wow. So happy we have the great Dan Harmon with us. Stick around. Special voicemail coming up right after the break. One more
story. I want to say, this story was made to have you on as a guest.
Okay, this story is tailor-made for Dan Harmon.
It is ridiculous.
Don't stop listening to this podcast after two segments. There's one more. See you after the break.
Don't change your dial to another podcast on your radio dial.
Stick around.
Everybody, welcome back to Dumb People Town. Hey, if you're not listening to Harmontown, subscribe to that.
You should be listening to that. So all the people who have come to us, if you like what we do, you will really enjoy what he does on Harmontown. Start with our episode, then work all around.
I dare say that Harmontown is more than a podcast. It's a community of people, no pun intended.
Pun intended.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Yeah.
And let that be the doorway into all the other Dan Harmon stuff you get into, and you will not be disappointed. This is a genius and someone who we are lucky to be in. By the way, when we tell people we're at Feral Audio, we're like, Harmontown. That's like the first thing we say. We say, you know, they do Harmontown and they do and My Favorite Murder.
We tell both of those,
but like those are things that we.
They were a big part, both of those shows, big part of us wanting to come here
and be a part of this thing. So,
well,
anyway.
I'm proud of that. I was proud when you guys came aboard. I mean, Dustin Marshall started Feral Audio, like just doing handshakes and making emotional promises to people that he admired. And he was my introduction to podcasting culture. And it was, you know, it's only recently become like kind of legitimized in the form of like, contracts and things with the artists and stuff, and we were very, very nervous about going corporate and becoming the bad guy when Dustin started as the good guy. So we're proud of the fact that it's like structured in a way that brings everybody, like, it's very talent friendly network, and
it is one of the most talent friendly places we've ever worked at. We've worked at a lot of different places, so we are so happy we're here. So that being said, also we should mention just dates for us. We're going to be at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival doing a live Dumb People Town. Still working on the guests right now, but that's going to be a blast. And we're going to host the ping pong tournament there, which is amazing, and do a bunch of other. We're doing the goddamn comedy jam, a bunch of things that we're doing there. So if you're going to be at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival end of April, please see us. And then we're going to be in Kansas City May 11th through the 13th doing the
improv
there.
Never done shows there.
Well, we did do the one show at the theater when we were coming through, but never done shows there in Kansas City. And we're going to be doing a Finding the Funny. So check that out. Any of your dates that you're doing live stuff or can see that, where can people catch that?
I know that I'm going to Portland to be part of this Live Wire thing.
Fun.
I saw it on Twitter. I don't realize
that's true.
Wait,
Twitter is telling me where I need to be.
Yeah. We gotta tell this brief story. Okay. 2 second story.
No. Sorry, guys.
This is where Twitter tells you where you need to be, and Twitter's wrong. Randy and I were, you know, we go out of town, we have little kids. It's sometimes hard for us to get up and do a lot of stand up back in town and do shows after we've been out of town. We like to give it a little bit of a break, be around our families. Well, it was a few days after we were in Portland. Randy looks on Twitter and it mentions that we were part of this show at the Improv at 8 p.m. And I was like, did you book us on the show? He didn't. I didn't.
Ian Carmel, Ron Funches, us, and Amy Miller. Like, great lineup. And I was like, oh, I guess we're doing this. And I think I talked to somebody, but I couldn't remember.
So we were like, okay. So I go to tell my wife, which I try to give some advance before I know, but now it's like day of.
And your daughter has croup.
My daughter has croup. She's throwing up all over the place all the time. And I'm like, I gotta trump up whatever we're doing right now. she doesn't listen to this podcast, so I'm good here.
Yeah, you're great.
I was like, look, this is a big deal. We got to go here. This is an audition for the James Corden show. So now, like the James Corden show is a big deal, but it was like, this is a late night. People are going to come down and look at us for late night, whatever. I'm like trying to make this a big deal. I'm like, I can't miss it. We show up to the show. I feel terrible that I've lied and now we're showing up at the show, and we get to the improv and they're like, what are you doing here? Why are you?
And what are you doing here twice?
Yeah,
what
exactly. Are you both doing
here? Both of you here?
We said, we're on the show. And they said, no, you're not. Well, the guys who host the show are two young comedians whose both their last name is Jordan.
Jordan, Sean Jordan and Dax Jordan. Yep.
And they host this show as the Sklarnt Brothers.
What?
And that, for us, we were totally flattered and touched. But some comedy promoting site read Sklarnt Brothers quickly, misread it, and put our names in there and said that we're on the show.
Meanwhile, these guys were nervous that they were calling themselves the Sklarnt Brothers, that we would be mad. So we showed up to their show and everybody thought, okay, a showdown is going to happen. Something's going to happen on stage. And we went up there and we wound up telling the story about how
we got there and we told them we have their blessing to do the show and we had fun and we riffed around. And we actually did some stand up. And then in that same moment, called our friend Jay Larson over at Meltdown and did a set over there. And then I came home just in time for my daughter to throw up all over me. But the best part about it is that we're going to be doing the James Corden show next week. I'm just kidding.
But that no one came to see us, but they booked us.
Yeah, we got booked out.
Hey, it's crazy. You put it out there.
I know.
But it was just
the moral of that story.
The moral of the story is lie to your wife, and B,
don't
trust Twitter to tell you where you're supposed to go.
I'm so distracted by the Sklarnt Brothers, though. Yeah.
Like, isn't that fantastic?
I'm not mad. I think it's actually
mad
great.
At all.
I'll take that as a positive.
I mean, either they hate you or you guys are like household names. And
both those things seem shocking to you. No, but it is true. No, I think that's what they're saying, that they aren't us, and that is...
Are they twins?
No.
People always think that they're brothers. They're both from Portland. They're great dudes.
They're good dudes, yeah. And they're funny. And from our perspective, we took it as an homage. Maybe we were wrong, but I took it as like...
Yeah, you should. You should, especially coming from them. Yeah. All right, you guys want to do another story?
Let's do the last
Before one. We do, really quick, I want to let everybody know that Thursday, April 20th, doors open at 7. Tickets are only $8 or $10. I will be headlining in Houston at the Secret Group.
You should do your podcast there at the Secret Group. I'm
going
to tell you right now.
They're great dudes.
It's a great venue, yep. Really cool, and
big comedy fans.
I love Andrew Youngblood.
What city is it?
This is Houston, Texas. Houston. And I will be there doing the 420 show. Doors open at 7. Show starts at 8. Tickets are only $10. If you go to the Secret Group, HTS. X.com, you can get tickets there, and I would love to see a whole bunch of fun podcast listeners there. All right, ready for this?
Yep.
This was sent in by critically acclaimed at Anthony Salerno. If I just read you guys the first sentence, I wouldn't need to read you anything
we
else.
Could riff
but
off
guess
that.
What? I'm gonna.
Okay,
yeah, of course.
Maybe
you
the
are.
First sentence.
A Dallas. This was in, I'm going to read this to you. I'm sorry for all the buildup, but you're going to think that this was just like a blog. This is in the Dallas News.
Okay. Which I think it's more Dallas or less Star, a blog.
Yeah. I mean, you could, yeah.
Well, it's DallasNews.com. I love having our guest Dallas News here with us.
Dallas News
does the weather here.
Right? Dallas okay. News, That's Mountain rains. Storm, all those guys.
Dallas News does the weather. As you can tell, he's typified by his bitterness because he didn't want to be a weatherman.
Right.
He called himself fucking Dallas News.
No choice.
Hey, it's Dallas News. We got a cold front coming in.
A
cold
shit?
Front reminds me of that Nicaragua story.
Dallas.
All right, fuck it.
Please stick to the weather. All right, go
Fine.
Back from the top. From the top.
Get him over by the green screen again. He's getting way too close.
You
too
ready?
Close to the prompt.
You ready?
No, and the final irony is that he's the Seattle weatherman. He couldn't even get a job
in Dallas.
But he's got a 5-point plan to get him there. A Dallas evangelist told his followers. Sorry. Let me start again. A Dallas evangelist told his followers that. An anointed cake.
Oh, no. Oh,
we're already there. Baked by hookers turned a gay man straight.
This is what Donna Summer was singing about.
Not only was this what Donna Summer was singing about in MacArthur Park, this is what Mike Pence honestly believes.
Oh, yeah.
I think in his heart of hearts, he's like, yeah, hookers bake a cake and then a gay man turns straight. They turns normal
it.
Again.
They anointed it.
Or do we know that this guy has opinions about gay people, or is he just saying, like, this is how good the cake is?
so good.
Oh. Who made this?
Hookers.
Tammy?
Yeah.
Brandy? This cake could turn a gay man straight.
Wait, are you saying
so moist.
It did do it?
No. Oh, God, no. I'm an advocate. I'm a progressive pastor.
Evangelist.
I believe that, you know, it's not a choice, and, you know,
you think it's biological.
You are Episcopalian.
I'm just saying this is such good
cake. The cake is that good. Wow, that is that's a tremendous endorsement for the cake.
Forgive me. I'm sorry. I just realized that's a hot button way of saying cake is good, but you'll forgive me when you
you will taste this cake.
Google me, and you'll find out. I used to say it in a racist way.
Now I've changed. To me, does that involve having sex with the cake? And so then you're like, oh, this is what I'm into now, I guess. And then it more reminiscent of a vagina? I don't know. I really am trying to take the steps. Turn a gay man straight.
Well, I think he just believes in witchcraft, this person. That makes a lot of sense.
Most gay men, when I think about gay men in this town, are in great shape. they're not cake eaters. Right. I'm going to say they eschew cake for a healthier...
Oh, maybe he just made him eat so much cake that his...
He's out of shape, and he's like, I can't
function
in the gay community.
They expect results out there, not to perpetuate a stereotype, but...
I'm a ghost in this town, in Boys Town.
I can't get arrested.
It's just easier to turn straight than to get all this weight off.
I just can't handle the ostracism I'm going to receive from the gay community. In-shape gay community.
This is how dense... This sentence is, we still haven't got to the hooker part or that it was anointed.
Anointed?
What does that mean?
By hookers, though. By hookers. I mean, that's blasphemy to imply that hookers can anoint something. Not to me, ladies.
Right. No, of course.
Of course they can.
Worker friends.
The evangelist, Lance Wallnau, Wallnau, bills himself as a Christian consultant whose website says he helped get President Donald Trump elected with his book, God's Chaos Candidate.
I don't doubt that. I do not doubt that either.
Wallnau has made a career out of his pronouncements, which have earned him more than 200,000 Facebook followers. That's a fact of the story I'd like to not have read.
That really tells you who is on Facebook.
Right.
More than anything else.
One of Wallnau's most recent claims came about when he live-streamed a video on Periscope in which he asked viewers for their prayer requests. One person asked for deliverance for her, quote, homosexual son. I don't know why it had to be in quotes. That's when Wallnau...
Well, deliverance is kind of what made people home. Right. Like, when I think about deliverance, that's what I think about.
Yeah, you don't want deliverance for your son.
That's when Wallnau launched...
She just wanted it on Blu-ray. She's just a supportive mom. I'm sorry, if you're gay and you're listening, that could be construed as being a little, but I just think it's funny wordplay-wise, and she just wanted a copy of Deliverance for her gay son. But she's just a misguided mom, and she's like, why don't I get a nice movie?
I want to cry for that mom that wants to do that, because she's trying in the only way she knows how to relate to him.
She already got him Beaches. She had
two
three movies
food,
out
thanks
of
for everything, Julie Newmar.
She just wants Deliverance for her gay.
That's all she wants.
If you really think about it like that, that's the most
generous gesture. What if that's what she was asking? Gesture. Where do I find the Deliverance. Movie Deliverance?
And for her autistic son, yes. Transformers the movie. From the 80s. Like, she's just trying.
She's just trying.
He's like a robot. I think he'd like a robot movie.
That's when Wallnau launched into a rambling story he said he heard involving baking skills that helped deliver a gay and very adamantly anti-Christian bar owner. Mm. This is crazy, he said. Now, I'm not saying this is going to work for you. I'm basically...
You're making him kind of gay.
We could
Southern and effeminate.
I could show you the video. This is how he sounds.
So
hair plugs and everything.
So the second time I'll say the phrase, a statistically defensible double standard.
Yes. That's right.
Totally.
If this guy's got a little bit of a lisp.
Totally.
He says, now, I'm not saying this is going to work for you, but... He's like a Michael Waltrip character. Yeah, yeah. But that Napa 55 did run good today.
All right.
But some... I'm not saying this is going to work for you, but some hookers in his bar got saved. First, a regular at the bar supposedly saved the prostitutes. Later, they whipped up a cake, which the reformed prostitutes prayed over. Quote, it was an anointed cake, and they made the cake and gave the cake as a gift.
Walnow said. Then he went on to say, I know this is strange. The bar owner took a bite, and then boom, the power of God hit him, Walnow said. Things escalated very quickly from there.
This is like a modern day biblical
story.
So
he's talking about like a magic cake that's out there in the world. Yep. He's not saying. Okay.
Made by hookers, anointed by
hookers.
So she's
hookers
calling him up and saying, my son's gay.
What do I do?
What can be done? And he's thinking, first of all, nothing, but instead of accepting that.
Right.
There's a magic cake floating around him.
How are you at three layer cakes?
This is a magic cake. This cake is, he's thinking it's out there.
It's a biblical cake.
But it's like going stale, right?
Probably.
It's like you can't just make this cake again, right?
I don't know, maybe.
He's saying to this person, there might be cake left.
There might be a piece of cake left.
He's trying to give them the ingredients. Like, you need a bar, you need some hookers.
Here's what you do. Yeah, that's the thing, is that I have to think, like, it has this bartender played the like greatest trick in the world. Yeah. He's just like, hey, no, I'm on your side. You know what really helped me? It's a nice big cake made by hookers.
Here's what you need to do. Go to Craigslist. It's called Casual Encounters. You're going to want to type women seeking women. That's what you want right there. Right in there. Baking skills a must. Also help if you have been redeemed by the Lord and Savior.
This guy, the ultimate Huck Finn prank, has convinced the Christian community that you can save his soul by giving him cake and surrounding him by sex workers.
Is there anything like this? Should be the new season of Cake Boss.
But this should be the new season of Cake Boss. And think about, like, as a man, like, is there anything better than like a big cake and a bunch of sex workers just hanging around you? I think that's heaven for a lot of people, unless you're gay.
Yeah. It's a new program I've started called Let Them Eat Cake, where we bring in the homosexuals.
It's called having your cake and eating it too, and
that's it.
Jeez. We bake them up some cake. So quickly, the regular at the bar who shepherded the domino effect in conversions allegedly led the bar owner to the Lord and baptized him. When he gets baptized, the guy gets delivered and the spirit that was working in him got broken off, Walnow said, insinuating that the bar owner was no longer gay. I'm telling you, it's a story. And that was his straight up.
I'm telling you it's a story doesn't necessarily tell me that it's true.
You
know, we all agree that that's
a
story.
A middle and an end. It's got third act problems. I mean, did the bar close? Did someone get reincarnated as a dog? Do we all have to do this? Are we going to die of diabetes and syphilis before we go to heaven?
Who knows?
He does that.
Only
knowing,
the cake knows.
That knowing, like, face looked you. Now you tell me that ain't a story.
Well, isn't it insane? The fine line between, and I won't even say Christian, because, you know, we see, you know, and I hope I don't offend anybody, but you see like the Orthodox guys and the sealed in plastic bags on airplanes because they won't touch women, and and God knows Islam, you know, it's not fashionable to go there, but extreme forms of it, just like extreme forms of Christianity.
Anything.
When you get really, really religious, you start to just become a witch. Become like a weird, like, everything that you would personally, as a fundamentalist of any religion,
try and burn at the stake, you become.
You just talk exactly like those folks, that don't even really exist, largely. Except
it shows that it's a cul-de-sac, so you move closer to the point at which the other person.
But when your basic form of living is a denial of every basic human need or human desire, then how can you be anything but that?
And it's interesting. It's like, oh God, you're so close. You're so close to genuine, actual, organic salvation, real spiritual atonement with the impersonal cosmos. When you are willing to put your head in that lion's mouth, so admitting that you do fear women and cake and gayness and actually coping with it by having a ritual, well, that's a good thing. It's not totally Christian, and it shouldn't be called. It shouldn't be like used to solicit like donations from people and things like that. But like you personally, that's a good door for you to go through.
Sure.
Is it like that Hell House documentary where where all these people gather together and they're like, there's
did you ever come see it at Acapulco's here?
No.
So we did Hollywood Hell House, where we basically did the script.
Right.
A bunch of people like basically did the exact words and the exact script that they had, and we were participated in it.
But when you watch that documentary, from the very beginning of it, it's almost charming until they get into other people's faces, like the way that they're just like, they get so excited And then, like, the young girl's just like, I have an idea. I'm going to be like a girl that's on ecstasy, and I go to a rave and I get molested, but I kind of like it. And I, blah, 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 you know,
great idea.
Yeah, okay. Right, and her name's Marjorie, and she wears this, and this is how she got there. And this is what, and it's just like, you're just doing this like crazy. I mean, like, what is such a fine line? There are people doing that same thing, kid, like, it's just called living their life. And they're like going to the places that frighten and scare them, and they're atoning with that stuff. And it's like, it's a shame to like bottle that up and think that it needs to involve like not letting a dude be gay.
Right, exactly.
I just hope that kid looked at his mom and was like, Mom, I'm more of a pie. I like pie.
Oh my God, yeah.
Cake after cake.
We haven't done the scene where the homosexual son is in his bedroom playing Minecraft, and the mom comes in
with a
twinkle in her eye.
Delivering
I don't know
cake.
If she has
Who
the cake
confetti
yet.
Cake.
She's just like coming in. She just got off the phone.
We did it.
She just got off the Skype session.
We did it.
Mom, I don't know. Come on.
Just eat it.
No,
I have a little bit.
I'm playing Minecraft. I don't want
to. Just listen to your mother and have a piece. The dad.
I know you don't think being gay is a problem. No, I told you it is. It's difficult. It's getting me beaten up at school, and it's making me feel internally very conflicted.
It's
made
me play more Minecraft, which is me building a world that I'd like to live in.
No, but I want it. I'm telling you, I just got off the phone with someone that has a solution. Now, let me finish. You're going to want to cut me off like you always do.
Let me finish. Let me finish becomes her like biography, like that she writes about.
She's like, she writes a whole cooking book.
And then halfway through the following Sunday, when he's covered in flour, surrounded with high spirited half naked women,
hookers,
rolling pins, and they're making a cake together, and he's turning to his mom and going, I don't understand.
I don't want any of this.
What you want from me or for me? Like what part of my soul are you trying to say?
She just says,
now son, this is Cheyenne, Sonny. And what was it? Was it Raylan? Okay, they are hookers. They've made you a cake,
right? Jeez.
Just partake in it. All right. Well, we actually have a voicemail.
Yes. Before we wrap things up,
we in the time that it took for us to do this final story.
Oh no! This is not Kris Kristofferson again.
No. This is although Kris Kristofferson, God knows where he's at, but this is Stone Cold Steve Austin found out that we were doing
that we were making fun of him,
and he is not happy. Like that's the last thing you want to do, Dan.
Is make that guy.
There are
mad.
Two things in the world you don't do. You don't serve an anointed hooker gay transforming cake to an actual gay kid, and you don't piss off Stone Cold Steve Austin by doing an impression of him.
Well, we did it.
And he left us a voicemail, so take a listen.
Oh, this is Stone Cold Steve Austin, goddamn National Treasure World icon. First off, let me say, this voicemail is brought to you by Sherry's Berries. Get yourself some ducats and take care of that female or male in your life. What? That's what you need. Now, Sklar Brothers, I hear you dropping the name Stone Cold Steve Austin coming out your mouth. Talk about me when I'm not around. Well, let me tell you something right now. For only 3 installments of $19.95, you can get yourself flowers delivered to home all year round. That's Flowers 365. Enter in Austin at checkout, and they will take care of you real good. I'm down here at Ogodose, California, getting ready to shoot the next season of Broken Skull Challenge. And if you want Broken Skull Challenge, you can go to CMT Tuesdays, 10 p.m. Get me down there. We're finding the best athletes in the world. The hell did I call y'all about? I don't know what it was. Oh, I do know. It was for Harry's. Get yourself some razors. Shave your head like I do. Make yourself good. Enter in Stunner at checkout. Now that I got to that, I got to say this. I'm going to come down there. I'm going to open a can of Whoop-Ass up on you boys. But before I do that, order your own Whoop-Ass t-shirt at StoneColdSteveAustin.com. Just enter in StoneColdSteveAustin.com at checkout. That's right. It's StoneColdSteveAustin.com. And then the promo code is StoneColdSteveAustin.com. All right. Austin out.
Jeez. Wow, that was a lot. First of all, I don't
know. So many promos.
How does he get more ads than our show?
That's unbelievable. And that's just in a voicemail. He's got more ads than us. We need better ad people.
And I kind of love that his promo code is the actual website.
That is.
Maybe we need to start doing that. Make the promo code the actual website.
He's become more ad than man, though. I mean, he's like, it's like, how can he catch fish if he's bilging the boat the whole
Dan,
time?
Dan, be careful.
More ads than man.
Don't, be careful.
Don't be, go be after careful him. Or he'll call back and do eight more
commercials.
Pre-rolls?
Yes.
That's more ad than man is also my favorite Rob Zombie song of all time.
He barely got around. He said he's going to open a can of Whoop-Ass on you guys.
He did say that. But first we have to buy Whoop-Ass t-shirts. And the promo code is StoneColdSteveAustin.com.
I love it.
Well, that's the show. And thank you, Dan Harmon, for coming and being a part of Dumb People Town.
Thank you so much. It was a blast.
And we say to our listeners, go check out his stuff. And hopefully his listeners will come check if you're listening from
Stick
Harmon
around.
Town.
Come to Dumb People Town.
Yeah, yeah, welcome to Dumb People Town. We're so happy that you're here. And we'll see you next week.
Dumb, 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 dumb.